I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So let's go over again what happened today with the White House and Jim Acosta. A federal judge said today that the White House must restore Acosta's press credentials. By the way, for those folks who want to assume this is an Obama appointee, no, it's a Donald Trump appointed judge. Tim Kelly. How many Tim Kellys do you think we have? I know like five Tim Kellys myself. Tim Kelly has to be a rather common name. This is the judge, Tim Kelly, ruled that the administration had most likely violated Acosta's due process rights when it revoked his press badge last week. It's a narrow victory. The judge declined to weigh in on First Amendment issues cited by the network, and the White House has a right to appeal, and they're going to. He said this, the judge, I want to emphasize the very limited nature of this ruling. I have not determined that the First Amendment was violated here. Of course, the White House, as they always do, distorts the facts. Sarah Sanders claimed in her statement, the court made clear there is no absolute First Amendment right to access the White House. I mean, it's a narrow ruling. It could go their way next week. But the judge specifically, by the way, in giving Acosta the first victory, could be limited, could be the start of the total victory. The judge himself says, I have not determined that the First Amendment was violated here. Sarah Sanders, the court made it clear there is no absolute First Amendment right access to the White House. The judge never said it. It's remarkable. The ACLU and others applauded this decision. Today's decision reaffirms that no one, not even the president, is above the law. I want a ton of phone calls. I want a ton of texts. And if you just want to be someone who detests the president and stay consistent with your texts or calls, go ahead. If you're someone who loves the president, sees no harm, believes the man was brought here by God, walks on water, and you want to defend that point, you can. I'd love to hear some people who are objective on this. I would love to hear people who want to view rulings like this for the present president and future presidents, because certainly White Houses, if someone acts beyond some accepted norms, could say, no, you're not allowed to be here. What is that? Who gets to set those? And if it's professionalism, acts of decorum, because this is not, I'll just go with myself included, because Adam's talked about this a lot too. In my opinion, Jim Acosta is a major grandstander. He wants the publicity on himself. Compare the way Jim Acosta asked questions to our guy, Major Garrett, and Major asked direct, succinct, and important and narrowly worded questions where if you don't answer, it's very clear what you're avoiding. Acosta, you may disagree, you may detest Bill O'Reilly, you may love Bill O'Reilly, but to me, O'Reilly nailed it yesterday when we had him on. Again, you want to listen to O'Reilly on the show, WCCRadio.com/Chad, 1 o'clock hour yesterday, and there are many, many, many areas where I disagree with O'Reilly, but there is an awful lot of opinion, an awful lot of opinion and inflammatory and baiting words out of Acosta when he's asking questions. That's more what I expect to hear on a talk show host like me who's giving opinions as opposed to a straight down the line White House reporter. So this idea that I'm, you know, think Jim Acosta is without flaw, that's absurd. But when we're talking about the respect back and forth, the president of the United States and his respect towards the press, the thousands of lies he's told, enemy of the people, telling people that's a stupid question, that's a racist question, you know. So the respect goes both ways. Do you really, for the folks who are the Trump supporters, do you really want potentially President Elizabeth Warren or President fill in the blank, any of the further left individuals who may be running in 2020? Do you want them to say to various reporters who lean more right, don't like your questions, I'm now allowed to decide, you're not allowed, you're not allowed, you're not allowed? So to act like there isn't a line is silly. But, and even the judge said, where is the line? Set up some protocol, and let's also just call this out. The White House, 100%, without a shred of doubt, used an InfoWars sped-up video. Not their own, not C-SPAN. They went to a conspiracy site that is filled with trash, which is filled with mocking people who have lost children, and used a sped-up video. But then, when they knew they would have to be held to standards, that they couldn't get away with just lies in the public opinion, when they knew a judge would say what's going on, they never even went to the video. Of course, now, hold on, somebody's going to hold me to a standard, a judge. We'll skip that. So, what do you think on any or all these points I've raised or other points? This is the start of a huge victory for CNN and Acosta. You don't think the president should have any right to stop it? You think Acosta went too far? You think the president has moved too far? Because I think they're also perfect for each other in this era. I think the president loves having this Acosta fight. I think the president views this as a victory because he can just continue to show, look, I'm trying to do my job, and the White House press corps won't give me a chance, and the courts won't give me a chance, but I'm fighting for you. I want to hear from a lot of people. 651-989-9226. Let's go. Let's get calls. Or 81807. Here's Laura with an update. Okay, we're getting a number of texts on Acosta, CNN versus the president. Lindsay, you chime in, because I'm going to remind people, this is a limited ruling. The judge saying, I want to emphasize the very limited nature of this ruling, temporarily restoring the press credentials to Jim Acosta, and the judge saying, I have not determined that the First Amendment was violated here. What do you think?
Well, where to begin? So when you sent me, or we talked this morning, you're like, oh, the CNN ruling came out. Let's find someone in, you know, an expert in media law. So
yep.
I went to the good old Google, and I was looking around, and I spoke with a woman, Susan Keith. She is a professor at Rutgers. And it didn't work out for her to join us today because of time constraints, but I asked if I could keep her name, you know, for our Rolodex, because we're always looking to add good guests and new insight. Nope. And she's like, oh, yeah, this story with Jim Acosta is not going anywhere. I'm happy to talk about it anytime. And it was just this feeling of dread, because I think from the second that President Trump has taken office, there has been so much focus on things that, yes, in the big picture, the First Amendment and allowing journalists into the White House matters. But in every single day of life, the things that we as Americans, people in the media, the president, politicians have to focus on because of the squirrel-like tendencies of our president about what he's going to focus on at any given moment,
yep,
it doesn't matter. With what's happening in California, this fight doesn't matter. Do I think it's going anywhere? No. Do I think it's going to end up well in Jim Acosta's favor? Probably not. But I think it's
raised his profile an awful lot,
it has
which is what he wants.
Oh, 100%. And you laid it out perfectly. You know, we are so lucky when we have Major Garrett on. He is smart, articulate. He's fun to be around. But when he is on his job, he is 110% professional.
Yep.
And there is something to be said about Jim Acosta's behavior, the way he acted that day. Do I think it was blown out of proportion? Oh, my gosh, yes. Like, give President Trump something else to complain about, and he'll find a way to do it.
Yeah. It benefited what he wants to do.
Oh, yeah.
They're perfect foils for each other in this battle because, I mean, to the president's credit in this sense, he does call on Acosta a fair amount. He just does. Now, maybe he does that to help manipulate his vote, his populace, his base, who now think, they believe the whole fake news BS. They buy into this enemy of the people, which is a frightening allegation. And then Acosta has moved beyond a White House reporter to someone who offers up opinions. And I'm still startled by people who don't get the difference between what I do here compared to, let's say, what Laura Oakes does. Laura Oakes is disseminating the news. She's presenting information. She either herself has covered it or other reporters, and she's presenting that. I am paid to give opinions, strong ones, on a variety of topics. We have ended up talking significantly more about politics because of the power, the reach, how beloved the president is, how detested he is, the stories that are out there that are never ending. And there is an enormous difference that the overwhelming majority of people do get. But still, enormous people don't get the difference. They think that what I should be doing is just stating facts and moving on. Let me tell you, boys and girls, that doesn't work. It hasn't worked here for about 3 decades, and it doesn't work elsewhere. That just doesn't have enough appeal with the audience that you want. I'm not talking about critical of a Republican president, just an opinion on something. If it's just going to be happy, blasé talk, then I'll show you. I'll just pull the curtain back. CCO's numbers the last 30 years have dropped precipitously with people 25 to 54. Whether it's been KQ, The Fan, KSDP, other stations have blown this station away in that demographic, which people desperately want. Part of it has been just blasé, boring talk. So you don't have to love what people have to say, but what works now is opinions, hopefully smart, well thought of, and hopefully people can respect, even if it's an opinion they don't agree with. So, yes, for me, there absolutely is some line that reporters can cross. And Acosta, in my view, near the latter part of that, should have just gave the mic back. But the president kept egging the situation on. The president to the next person, to Peter Alexander. I'm not a big fan of yours, so don't tell me about decorum, because Donald Trump and class and decorum, they never, ever match up unless he's on the teleprompter. And I don't, no matter the president, I think it's a frightening possibility where you get to just draw the list and say, no, no, yes, no, and decide who gets to ask questions. Because the president will occasionally say, I'm all for fair coverage of me and critical coverage of me. When does he ever accept that part of it? Because I could read in his latest interview with Daily Caller, right, Tucker Carlson's outlet, which is popular, it's filled with lies again. It never stops. So I'm not somebody who's going to defend Jim Acosta and the way he acts. But if you really want to be start allowing all the presidents going forward to set up the list about who gets to allow them questions, to me, that's a frightening sort of situation. Judy's our first caller. Hang on, Judy. Couple lines available and a lot of text coming in. I know a lot of people have strong opinions. I want to hear from them on all the topics we've raised related to Trump and Acosta. Jane Kirtley's going to join us on this topic in about 10 minutes. Also, some more of the facts of this. We tried to get Jane at the start. It just didn't work out because normally that's the sequence we go. That's at 1:35. It's 1:23. A short pause, but let's go with more calls. 651-989-9226. Especially the folks who say, hey, the show doesn't take enough calls. We're willing to take calls right now on this topic. You chime in. Yeah, I was worried right there. I was worried we might be in deep, deep trouble, depending on which version we were playing. All right, let's take calls and get to text here. Judy in Eden Prairie. Judy, you're on.
Hi, Chad and Lindsay. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I do have an opinion, whether or not it's a valid one, I don't know. But considering the president's contentious relationship with the press, I would suggest that reporters not ask him any questions at all. That the next time there's a press conference with the president, to just simply stand up and not say a word.
Well, that was raised by a few people last week in support of this. I forget who brought it up. I know Jim Rutenberg, who we've had on a number of times in the New York Times, he's their media columnist, raised that topic that what would happen if a boycott took place? If, you know, the White House, the number of press briefings has dropped dramatically, but to the president's credit, he comes out of the White House or he has gaggles a lot more than President Obama did, and it's not close. If you just stopped, and what would take place? I personally don't agree with what the White House did, but I'm not prepared to go that far at this time. Just my view.
I just think that silent protests work very well in certain situations, and I would be very what would happen. You know, Trump seems to thrive on the antagonism, and he, like you said, he does bait reporters on. And what if they just didn't take the bait? You know, Fox News joined with a lawsuit
yes.
to get Jim Acosta's press pass back. Fox News is a pretty conservative organization. And, you know, Trump really doesn't have any respect for people who either report the news fairly or unfairly, honestly. And so...
Well, you had a report from the Daily Beast the other day that he makes fun of Sean Hannity for how Hannity
yes.
kisses up to him so much.
I know. There you go. So I think it'd be really interesting to take a Gandhi-like approach and see, you know, what would happen if the press just suddenly stopped asking questions, because that would stop feeding into his ego.
I do get those two confused at times, don't you, Trump and Gandhi?
Yeah, there's some slight differences there.
Yeah, thank you, Judy. Call in another time here. Has everyone forgotten about Mike Wallace and Sam Donaldson? Acosta's minor league compared to them. Well, Wallace is different, though, because what Wallace did when we think of Wallace primarily was 60 Minutes. That, to me, is a different type of approach. But Sam Donaldson and Ronald Reagan? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Very contentious. I mean, what White House does love it? No doubt. There were many, many media people excited about Barack Obama, right? And he agreed with them on a lot of issues. But Barack Obama could grow very testy with the media. Barack Obama would go months and months and months without press gatherings. And Barack Obama would, if you'd ask him a question, be a five-minute answer. And the Obama administration, to me, went way too far with multiple investigations into reporters, federal investigations. I mean, that I'm not going to defend all aspects of that. And obviously, W in a contentious relationship. I mean, it's Bill Clinton had a very testy relationship. So, yeah, if you're going to tell me which way do I think a high percentage of media types lean, sure, I'm going to say left. But if you think it's been just perfect and kindness with the Democrats, or at least let's put it this way, that's how those presidents felt. It's not true. More text here. If reporters stopped asking questions, say goodbye to press conferences, which isn't a bad idea. It's a horrible idea. You don't want to hold the White House and have smart individuals and act as agents of us. You just want to allow almost like a dictatorship where here's what we're doing. We're not going to tell you. We're not going to answer questions. And by the way, if you don't answer the right questions, we're going to get rid of you. Let's see. Somebody wants to say a specific example of Acosta giving an opinion. That day when Jim Acosta had the 3 or 4 minute opinion, or had 3 or 4 minute back and forth with the president, Jim Acosta had multiple opinions in there. Ones that on the caravan that I agree with, because I think the president played complete fear mongering with that. But I think that is what Jim Acosta does, which is different than most of what the White House reporters do. More text here. He was inappropriate to the president on numerous occasions, so it built up the point. He should only ask one question, not make a statement. Well, again, we talked about this when Major was on. That day, Major was called on first. And Major asked four questions. And I think, listen, Acosta was going to try to get multiple in, but it did set the table a little bit that day. And then put the intern in an awful position trying to get the mic, right? Trump, as usual, went too far in his reading the text here. Narcissistic, sickening, and currently bullying. I'm an avid more text here. All these are texts. I'm an avid CNN viewer. I like Jim Acosta. However, I do think he oversteps with the president. He was grandstanding. I did not vote for Trump, not a supporter of Trump, but I watched that press conference live and thought the reporter was out of line. More text here. All these. The judge got it right. Any appeal should be thrown out. Sarah Sanders again proves she can't speak the truth and should be fired. Next text. Regarding the CNN correspondent, who cares? The correspondent was absolutely out of line. A lot of people care. And apparently you do, because you're contradicting yourself. Who cares? Well, then you had an opinion saying the correspondent was absolutely out of line. Let's get more of the facts on this when Jane Kirtley joins us. Coming up in moments on CCO. All right, plenty of opinions, calls, and texts on Acosta, the president, and the ruling today. Let's now get to Jane Kirtley, who you've heard many times on the station before. She is the Silla Professor of Media Ethics and Law at the School of Journalism at the University of Minnesota. Jane, I appreciate you coming on. What is your view on the ruling today, which the judge is emphasizing again, the limited nature of the ruling, and saying he has not determined if the First Amendment was violated here?
You're right. I mean, it is a temporary restraining order, which by its terms means that it will only last for a short period of time pending further review. It actually played out the way I expected that it would. I figured that the judge would be most likely to look at the procedure that was followed here, or rather not followed, in taking away Jim Acosta's press pass. The reason I say that is because that's really the simpler way for a judge to approach a question like that. When you get into the First Amendment, it gets quite complicated unless you're the former Justice Hugo Black, who thinks the First Amendment is absolute. Nobody else thinks that. But if you can look at a procedure and say the White House didn't follow it, which is exactly what Judge Kelly said, then it's very easy to say what you did was didn't follow the procedure, and you got to give him his press pass back until you deal with that. He certainly reserves the right to go back later on as the hearings progress and look at the First Amendment question in greater detail. I will say that the fact that he said that Acosta was suffering irreparable harm by having the press pass taken away sounds like the First Amendment is very much lurking in the background, because that's classic First Amendment language to say that a journalist is irreparably harmed every minute he's deprived of his right to gather the news. So whether Judge Kelly was just echoing that, channeling that, didn't even realize he was doing it, to me that's an important indicator coupled with the fact that he said he believes that Acosta will ultimately prevail. So I, you know, I see this as a very positive ruling. The fact that it is limited to its terms is exactly what any judge would do with a temporary restraining order motion.
What do you expect the White House to do now?
Well, if we were dealing with a normal White House, and by that I just mean the ones that I've been familiar with for the 60-odd years of my life, I think what would happen would be they'd give Acosta back his press pass and say, we're done with this. You know, that would be the sensible thing to do, because the risk of making adverse law as far as the White House is concerned, I think is very, very high. If ultimately this judge were to rule against Acosta, it would go to the D.C. Circuit, which is generally very friendly to First Amendment and specifically freedom of the press. So why would, if I were in the White House, why would I want to drag this out? I think, you know, their strategy could easily be give him the press pass and then ignore him, which they could do. And wouldn't that accomplish what they're really trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing, Jane. I think a lot of us have speculated now Acosta gets this, and whether it's now the very limited press briefings, which I think should trouble a lot of people, or the times when the president makes himself available, that we're going to hear Jim Acosta trying to say, Sarah, Mr. President, and they just don't call on him.
And they would have, I mean, that would be within the realm of his discretion.
Right.
So, I mean, but of course, the fact of having a hard press pass does give Acosta access to things in the White House other than these press conferences. So I think from his perspective, it's not ideal, but he could probably still do his job.
What if the White House, when they come back, they set out a specific criteria and lay it out in detail on how a reporter, he or she, could lose their press credential? Would that add to their case?
Well, it would. And in fact, I would argue that already exists, because there is a provision in the Code of Federal Regulations that was basically dictated by a court decision back in 1977, where the Secret Service has to have a procedure in place that both spells out how you get a press pass, how you lose a press pass, and what remedies you have available to you to challenge them. And, you know, the way the White House did this particular pulling of a press pass had no structure to it whatsoever, which
no.
means it was arbitrary. So if the question is, if they followed the procedure, could they still win? And I think the answer is possibly. But one of the big problems here is that they have telegraphed in very explicit terms, including President Trump's tweets, that they really hate the way Acosta covers Trump in the White House. That means it's a viewpoint-based distinction or decision to remove the press pass, and that is really problematic from a First Amendment perspective. You know, if they were relying upon what they were originally saying, which was that he was assaulting an intern, that would be an easier argument to make, because
right.
they would have the right to set some decorum standards. But if you're saying, I just don't, and which actually Trump's lawyer said this in the hearing, if he just doesn't like Acosta, you know, he should be able to expel him. That's not consistent with the First Amendment.
No. And as you know, but just to remind the audience again, when it came down to the actual court case, the nonsense of the InfoWars sped up video never even came up, because they knew they would be held to an actual standard in court, compared to putting something out and just gaslighting something that's not true.
That's right. They dropped that line of argument completely, and wisely so, because I think the judge would have seen through that immediately as the fake news that it was.
Well, we also, speaking of the fake news part, and Jane Kirtley is with us, I'll repeat specifically what the judge had to say. I want to emphasize the very limited nature of this ruling. I have not determined that the First Amendment was violated here. So in many ways, you could say that part is a victory for the White House. But as usual, the White House and facts don't match up, because Sarah Sanders chimes in the minutes afterwards and says in her statement, the court made it clear there is no absolute First Amendment right to access the White House. The judge never says that at all, correct?
He did not say that. He said, I don't have to reach the question at this point because this is a temporary restraining order. I mean, typically those run for at most a couple of weeks. I haven't delved into the First Amendment issues, and I haven't ruled on them yet. Again, he did say that he thought it was likely that Acosta would prevail, which is the standard that you have to meet to get a temporary restraining order, more likely than not, basically, that he would prevail. Now, I mean, can the White House put together a new brief, new arguments that might change his mind? Sure. But in no way, shape, or form did the judge rule definitively that there was no First Amendment right here. He didn't address it. He dealt with this as a procedural matter.
Do you think the White House will continue to pursue this?
You know, I'm out of the prediction business with this White House because they just don't follow any norms that I'm familiar with. As I said, if cooler heads would prevail, I think they would say to President Trump, there's a better than 50% chance we're going to lose this as we go forward. Why don't we just give him back the press pass? We can ignore him, and then we'll get all the rest of the media off our backs, because the reason they all came in as friends of the court was because they know if they can do it to Acosta, they can do it to anybody. And even Fox knows that when someday there's a Democratic president, he or she could do this.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, the media are united on this. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me that Trump should realize that making all of the news media furious at you is just not a great tactic, especially as he's moving forward with a variety of texts from many different fronts.
But so, I agree with you. He should, but he doesn't. He thinks it helps him. And I mean, part of this ruling, too, when the judge is saying, kept asking, who made this decision? Tell me who made this decision. Anybody with a pulse knows who made this decision.
Of course.
The president made this decision because he thinks that coverage is only fair if it's favorable to him.
That's exactly right. And he's got, you know, this kind of autocrat's view that he should be able to control how the media choose to cover him. And you know, that's not what the First Amendment says. So, you know, again, I don't know. I would say the odds are they will continue with this battle. But what a waste of time, energy, and money, in my view. But, you know, as you say, it's their choice, and they could continue. But I would hope that they would just stop at this point.
Well, and you touched on a key point. And when I was giving my view early in there, I did. But I just want to emphasize this again. And this is to the people who are Trump supporters and very proud of that. How do you feel if in the next, let's say hypothetically, the next three presidents are liberal Democrats and they're just picking and choosing and they're saying 15 reporters can't be here and the next one is 20 reporters? That's really what we want? I mean, that would give up an enormous part of the give and take, which provides essential information to all of us citizens and to hold the government to a certain standard.
Absolutely. I mean, the you know, I said this to somebody earlier today. Everybody's couching this in terms of Jim Acosta and CNN, but it's not even about them or even the press in general. It's about the public's right to get information. I mean, we can't all go to these press conferences and ask President Trump questions. He doesn't take questions at his rallies. When are we going to ask him these questions? And again, if he can do it to Jim Acosta, then a future president can do it to somebody from Fox. And you have to think of it in those terms. If you don't care about the First Amendment, just think about the practical impact of supporting an action like this.
Jane, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Jane Kirtley, that's multiple segments on what took place in different ways on the judge's limited ruling regarding the president, the White House, Jim Acosta, CNN, and the media. Plenty of texts, calls, and Jane Kirtley. It's 1:50. That is our Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to call for a free estimate on Infinity by Marvin Windows. We were talking about, I think it was, in this case, it was the Emmys. And another award show, and the ratings were down. And I immediately received a text from an individual who is a strong Trump supporter and said, yep, down because they make fun of Donald Trump. I then looked up the numbers, 4 Emmys, 4 Oscars, and have watched all of these shows drop. In fact, I don't think I responded to this particular Trump supporter in this case, but I was going to send him this text and say, yeah, you know when the Oscars peaked? When Ronald Reagan was president. That's when they were the highest because, you know, Hollywood loved Ronald Reagan. Well, they loved him, I guess, when he was an actor in the 50s. They didn't exactly. Liberal Hollywood did not exactly embrace Ronnie in the 80s. Award shows numbers are crumbling. And so to my friend, if he is listening today, who said it's because these shows don't embrace the president, and my comeback was all of these numbers are dropping, I give you the CMAs. I mean, if we want to go generalization, Lindsay, we can go with country fans potentially more embrace the president than others. That's the perception. You think it's true? I mean, we feel, you know.
I mean, I think if we're rolling with stereotypes,
yeah,
I would say that there are portions of this country that probably voted for Donald Trump who are also heavily influenced by country music.
Right. And we certainly see many Republican politicians play that. I don't know if the data accurately reflects that. But if we're going with the stereotype, then you'd think, hey, Country Music Awards, Donald Trump, we're together. No, they also crumbled 34% from last year. The public doesn't care about award shows anymore.
I think it's a part of that, too. And I also think when they were at the height was pre-Netflix, pre-streaming, pre-DVRs. I mean,
just the endless opportunities.
Endless opportunities. You go home. I mean, John and I rented a Redbox last night, and it felt so foreign.
Hello.
It was weird.
Redbox?
Yeah.
They still exist.
They still exist. It was cheaper than what we would have paid on Amazon Prime, and we rented Ocean's 8 and Don't Waste Your Time.
Were you on your AOL account when you did this?
Our dial up service is down, so when you called the house, you would get that.
Can we get that on the instant replay soon?
Of course, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, we're bored. We've got too many other options. So, yeah, it's not a President Trump sort of driven story.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.